Number 21A.
In the Gospel of John, at the point of the third part of Christianity, we know that he is showing, from the point of view of truth, that Jesus was doing away first with sin, the adulterous woman, then with sickness, the man born blind, then with death, with the resurrecting of Lazarus, and then fourth, with the prince of this world, of which John says, the prince of this world is cast out, meaning that the gamut of evil is cast out. And when he shows these healings, one thing always stands out, that he didn't give a sense that he was healing those people, but that every time he said, well, it is for the glory of God. So he was standing on that point where he could see what Mrs. Eddy says, that man is incapable of sin, sickness, and death. And that's our treatment. Our treatment is not to heal sin, to heal sickness, to heal death, but really to establish really the impossibility that man could sin, establish the impossibility that man could get sick or could die or could have that gamut of evil called personal sense. So he gives a high sense of treatment where he shows that he is constantly staying within the glory of God and that he does everything for the glory of God and that nobody has sinned. And they asked the blind man, well, who has sinned? Oh, they didn't ask the blind man, but when it was asked, why is that man born blind? Is it his sin or is it his parents' sin? He said, oh, don't talk nonsense. There is no sin. This, only the glory of God is going on. And the glory of God can be shown in two ways, namely the perfect man, and in another way, that he cannot be imperfect. So this is a tonality that goes through those healings, which is really a method that we should think out a bit more. I therefore want to combine also that attitude with the attitude that we find in the textbook in this regard. When John says, well, the prince of the world is cast out, then John gives a true statement, but he doesn't explain anything. How do we know now how the prince of the world is cast out? Do we have now a method? Does he give us a rule? We don't know it, but it's a wonderful feeling to think, oh yes, that's fine. So in reality, the prince of the world is cast out, but we will not experience it. We never can demonstrate a statement. We can only demonstrate really an explanation of that statement. And so we need to have an explanation why that statement is true. Only then it becomes a true statement. So we need the explanation. And the explanation at this point I would consider now as the great question of handling evil, of handling that prince of the world, how he is cast out, so that we see the mechanism of that statement and see why he is cast out, why he can be cast out. And so this needs an understanding, a clear understanding, a structured understanding of evil. So I want to take up the question of handling evil and show really something about that whole question, which perhaps one hasn't considered in detail enough. Christian Science, Mrs. Eddy says, is not one-sided, namely not just acknowledging good. That's an interesting statement because when we had read really those parts in the Gospel of John, we had a feeling that he was only acknowledging good. As I said, he said, this is for the glory of God. And Mrs. Eddy says, well, we must be careful. Christian Science should not be just one-sided, namely acknowledging good and not to say anything about evil, not to explain evil, not to understand the nothingness of evil. Jesus, in the other gospel, would say your communication should be yea, yea, and nay, nay. So this is something that John hasn't in his gospel. But he hasn't in his gospel because he touches really on the fourth side of the holy city. But the other three sides must also be taken into consideration. Just that because we only have taken the gospel of John, it doesn't mean that the other three gospels are not necessary, that they don't have a specific message, that we shouldn't know their message. No, no, it just shows that John was climaxing the whole question. So let's take up that question of handling evil and see what does the textbook say about that prince of the world that has to be cast out. Does it give a clear answer about the method of casting out evil? Mrs. Eddy says in this regard that certain individuals entertain the notion that we should only denounce error in general, saying nothing in particular of error that is damning men. She goes on and says they are sticklers for a false, convenient peace, straining at gnats and swallowing camels. All that error asks is to be let alone. All that what error asks is to be let alone. All that error asks is to be just one side and say how wonderful God is, and that's that, and just say what all the big religions say. This is nothing specific to Christianity. They all say that that error, that evil, is just an illusion. So this is not unique, really, to Christian Science. And therefore, so often, we will go on then, other religions will say, well, we say the same thing. We read books on various religions and say, well, they also say that, that error and disease and evil is not real, that they are just illusions, and so they feel this is saying the same thing. Now, here we have to see that Christian Science goes a step further and says, yes, it is true that evil is but an illusion. But she says we must understand why it is an illusion and therefore why it is nothing. So just to generally wipe away evil is not really Christian Science. That's not enough. And we are only too apt really to think that way quite often and think, well, if we know the whole a model of being which only tells us about the three great categories of being and shows that in that model of being there is no error, therefore we are tempted just to say, all right, then error is nothing, error is an illusion, away with it, and don't give any more thought to it. Well, that's misunderstanding, really, that model of being, because in the model of being you have a level called Christian Science, and that level of Christian Science is explaining really the relationship between truth and error, so that we are only short-sighted if we think that we just could, as what Mrs. Eddy says, only denounce error in general. We have to denounce error in particular, specifically. And therefore she is saying that this is an error that is actually supporting error. If we don't tackle error, then it's all that error wants us to do. Then it can do with us what it wants to do. Then it can mesmerize us to the nth degree, and we not even are aware of it, that we are mesmerized to the nth degree. Therefore, handling evil becomes and has been always a strong point in Christian Science. Now, I have said Christian Science stands out in contrast to all the other great religions against the great monotheistic religion. Monotheism means there is only one thing, one reality, and that reality is good. But Christian Science goes further than that and says, that's all right, but that is not a workable method. we have to go further and see that we can see why evil is nothing. So Christian Science is the only religion or science, I like to call it a science, and not a religion, because as a footnote, you know that Mrs. Eddy never uses religion with a capital R, whereas science she uses 1,000 times with a capital S. So religion to Mrs. Eddy is not really the pith of Christian Science. That Christian Science has a religious aspect, that's true, just as it has a healing aspect, that it has a psychological aspect, that it has a philosophical aspect, etc., etc. But it is fundamentally science. Now, only Christian Science can handle evil specifically. Why? Of the simple reason that only Christian Science defines God. No other religion defines God through a definition which is complete, which is all-embracing, and yet reduced to such simplicity that it can be understood by people, by the human mind. So we see that we have really, again, a great advantage in contrast to other religion, that we know the definition of God, and therefore we know the exact opposite of God. And so we can see that if we know God as he is, then we also can see evil as nothing and can understand it. Also, we must perhaps see the difference between the Gospel of John and the textbook. If we look at the Gospel of John, he doesn't say very much about handling evil, about really handling discordant situation. It's a very lofty sense that we get there, really the atmosphere perhaps of divine science that we get there. Whereas the Christian Science textbook has its accent on Christian Science. It's not the textbook of divine science. It's the textbook of Christian Science. She only talks about her textbook as the Christian Science textbook, never as the divine science textbook. The divine science textbook would be quite a different book, and there divine science would have had divine with a capital D, just as she calls that the comforter which was promised by the Bible, by John. She considers that comforter or that paraclete as divine science, and there she puts divine with a capital D. So it isn't the same as divine science with a small d, of which Mrs. Eddy speaks a lot also in the textbook, but the accent of the textbook is really on Christian Science, on the question of the relationship between truth and error. So it is a textbook that really shows in its greatest part really how to handle evil, how to handle error. And so Mrs. Eddy herself speaks about her experience and says, I have gone through the same experience, she says. She says, what it was that experience? That she has that lofty experience, so to say, of the atmosphere of John, where she said, I shall not forget the cost of investigation for this age, the method and power of error. Now, while the rays and means and potency of truth had flowed into my consciousness as easily as dawns the morning light and shadows flee, the metaphysical mystery of error, its hidden path, purpose and fruits, at first defied me. See, she went through the same consciousness that she felt, oh, that's wonderful, that revelation which I had, the rays of truth, of infinite truth, just flooded my consciousness. And while the rays of means and potency of truth had flowed into my consciousness as easily as dawns the morning light and shadows flee. That's the atmosphere that we have got last summer school from, really from John. Huh? That was the atmosphere. And so this year I said, let's see the implication of it, and let's see that these lofty statements need somehow a complementary side, namely the side of the textbook. The textbook must come in and explain those very short sentences and statements where John shows that the prince of this world is cast out, and ask ourselves, how is he cast out? What is really the prince of this world? What is his ways and means? What is his secret means of being? How does he mesmerize people so that they think they have the truth and they don't have it? That they think they know now the truth and the truth, nothing but the truth, and actually they are mesmerized into a concept of truth that is not the truth. This is something that Mrs. Eddy experienced at the beginning. At first, it defied me. That mystery of error defied me. And then she said, but at length, she resisted it, I would say. She resisted it, but at length. You can see that there is something in the human mind, in all of us, that doesn't like to investigate error. Something in us always likes to investigate truth, because truth is so wonderful, and it's so easy and so peaceful, and says, oh, I don't want to hear anything about evil. Evil doesn't exist anyway. Evil is just an illusion. It doesn't exist, so why bother about evil? And then we are trapped. If we have that consciousness, we are really trapped, just as she felt that she was trapped. At first, it defied me. And she had quite a lot of experience where she was quite surprised that she was falling from one pit into the other pit, and was not knowing why she was falling into it, until she found out, as you know from the history of animal magnetism, I put that history of animal magnetism in a short chapter in my book on animal magnetism, until finally, really, she said, but at length took up their research according, and that is interesting, according to God's command. It wasn't the command of a teacher, it wasn't the command of anybody. She saw God wanted me to see through evil, through the ways, means, and potency of evil, so as to find out really why evil is not real. So we may go through that very same experience, that at the beginning we feel, oh, let's have the truth, and let's see what love is, and love is never without its object. Love is always manifested. There is no position, no experience in our life where love is not right there. If I make my bed in hell, thou art still there. That's wonderful. But how to get out of that pit? That's another question. How to get out of hell? That's another question. So we feel that she asked of us as students really also to consider the question of evil and not only the question of good. So that should not, that as I started out, the Christian Science, she said, should not be one-sided, only acknowledging good. It must also consider evil. It's something interesting about this handling of evil. John Dolly, when he was asked, why do you think you were the one out of those million Christian Scientists at that time who really began to see the science in the textbook? Why didn't all the other millions who also could read English and also were very in earnest and were also devoting their lives to Christian Science, why did they not be able to discover really in the textbook the science of Christian Science? And his answer was always, right through all the years, he always said, because I handled evil right from the start, and handled evil properly and completely right from the start. He said, I never left out one day without really going through that question of handling evil from every point of view conceivable. That, he said, that gave me the ability or the purity in the consciousness that was able really to receive the revelation of the good. having handled evil, he was open for the good, for the signs of being. So he always said to us, make it a habit that you handle evil daily, so that we have within our consciousness as pure as possible a grid through which really the good can shine, a grid through which really the structure and the system of being could shine through. So he said, this was it that enabled me to discover science. Now, another interesting thing is, which now we can somehow understand better. At the time, it was quite a little bit of an enigma to us. John Dolly gave in 49, you know, that Oxford Summer School, in which he took those four Gospels from the point of view of the law of interdependence between absolute Christian Science and Christian Science, and showed those four Gospels in this way. And as far as we could remember for of all those association meetings and Oxford meeting, we felt this was the acme of revelation, the heights of revelation, and it gave us, we went home with such a terrific sense to be uplifted, to be in the realm of harmony, and we felt, how is it possible that this could be even be further developed? And then we were perhaps quite surprised that when he came back and started in the autumn of that, after that summer school, with a Bible explanation, with the Bible weekly talks, that he took Ezekiel. And Ezekiel is that which, as the very first, so to say, was showing how necessary it is to handle evil, to handle evil. It's right from the beginning to the end. It's just one great method of analyzing, uncovering, and annihilating the evil as mortal mind, as matter, and as physical sense testimony, and showing that if we analyze and uncover and annihilate that triad of evil, that we have really put our axe to the root of evil, and that from that point on, then Ezekiel shows that he can restore Israel to its proper place, and therefore bring Israel at the end of the message of the prophecy right up to the holy city. So here too, it was shown that somehow it was in the flow really of the idea, but the idea always has order and it's not chance. Shows that next to that wonderful vision of St. John, we need something else. We need really also, in order to be a scientist, we also need the investigation into what is called evil, also a method of how to handle evil scientifically. Then, after he had done that, you know that right afterwards, he had given really a week's talk on what? On Christian Science practice, where he showed how really an understanding of what he saw in Ezekiel would be the basis of Christian Science practice, which is really handling evil totally as a system. Yes, so we can see that Mr. Zeddy was really asking us not to shun the method of evil, the handling evil. She says, make a habit of it. And then she goes on and says, what is necessary is, in order to be able to come out of the science of physical harmony into the science of spiritual harmony, I refer to that article in the Unity of Good, One Cause and Effect, a terrific article which one cannot consider too closely, that he says, how are we brought out of that a science of physical harmony into the science of spiritual harmony? And he said, there is one way, namely, the platoons of Christian Science must be thoroughly drilled. in the planar manual of their spiritual armament. So they must be thoroughly drilled. The platoons were always the military formation that was used in earlier times by a platoon was, you know, a platoon, it was always a square, huh? So that the outside was building a square so they could not be attacked from any side, so that they were always protected from all four sides, and so in that way they were able to withstand the attack from every side, so that they were not surprised suddenly to be attacked in the back. So that from there comes that term platoon, which is really showing that fortress, that ability really to withstand any attack from the enemy. So she says, well, that those platoons of Christian Science must first be drilled in the planar manual of their spiritual armament. Then afterwards, she shows that the science of spiritual harmony can be introduced. So we have to go through that drill too and see how to drill ourselves in handling evil.